City's News Talk, AM 1130, 1035 FM. You're listening to TCNT Movie Talk.
Yeah, you are.
We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, new on streaming services, movies out this week 20 years ago, movies out this week 10 years ago, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Usually some Star Wars too.
I'm partial to the other version of this. There's the same band. They have a different version where it's faster.
That partial guy is John Justice.
Hi.
Across from his is Drew Lee. Him is Drew Lee. We also have Nick Zerwas and Brian Miller.
What's happening?
I like me some Soul Coughing.
Yeah, man. They were a good band.
Yeah.
They were a really good band. They didn't have a ton of content, but it was all, I like everything I've heard.
One album was really good.
Impinged on them. It's kind of a weird name.
You think I don't like the name.
Not a great name.
Not a fan of the name.
What's the name of it?
Soul Coughing is the name of the band.
Oh. They were that weird. There was a couple of bands like them. They're weird, sort of the hybrid during the, you know, of alt rock. Mm-hmm. Dave Matthews kind of.
And wasn't just quite rock, but right, it kind
of
was.
Had a bit of a blues tinge to it. It was quirky. They had that. There was one album by them that I still listen to a lot. I love that album.
Yeah.
And that song was on it. So anyways, but we're talking about movies.
We are. Movies in theaters this week, Breaking In, Life of the Party, and Another Kind of Wedding.
Breaking In makes me laugh a bit because it's, Gabrielle
Union?
Yes. And I think they've been delaying it, where she's a mom and it's like a combination of, it's like Die Hard, but it's in a home with a mom.
Talking about Breaking In?
Yes.
So this is a thriller film?
Yeah. Do you have the synopsis?
Thriller type?
I do.
Do the synopsis. Maybe I'm describing it wrong, but that was I thought it was like Die Hard at Home.
Oh, this is that movie that looks like it's made for Mother's Day. So this, Sean Russell takes her son and daughter on a weekend getaway to their late father's secluded high-tech vacation home in the countryside. The family soon gets an unwelcome surprise when four men break into the house to find hidden money. After managing to escape, Sean must now figure out a way to turn the tables on the desperate thieves and save her captive children.
Is that the exact plot of Panic Room?
Yeah, it's Panic Room meets Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a house with Gabrielle Union.
Should have called it Die Room.
Yeah, it's kind of a weak, it's a weak
panic
weekend.
Panic Hard.
Yeah, Panic Hard. Ooh.
And then there's we've also got Life of the Party and Another Kind of Wedding. Prior to this list, did not hear anything about it.
Life of the Party looks like Back to School.
It is back to school.
Looks like it's like they remade Back to School, and instead of Rodney Dangerfield, it's Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, I was just looking this up.
I don't know, man.
Why?
I think the Melissa McCarthy, you know, thing is probably done.
They need to think so.
It's not that she's not talented. It's not that she, you know, isn't but it just feels like she's got a bit of a one note style of humor.
Yeah.
You know?
I think she actually has more notes, but I think they don't often get played.
Yeah, but maybe
that's...
She's right.
She definitely gets typecast.
She has range. I think it's sometimes she doesn't always pick projects that highlight the range, or that it, because you think of like in This Is 40, where she's like the really mean, abusive, like cursing a lot, angry mom. But then some movies she's like the put upon, but she kind of can do both. She can be really aggressive or really passive. But it's like the movies tend to play her like to these extremes, where you don't get to see in a movie where she can kind of maybe comfortably shift between the two.
This just seems unbelievably forced. Contractually, we have to put out another Melissa McCarthy movie, so let's plug her in to Old School and what was the one that you brought
back
up?
Back to School.
Yeah,
Old School, Back to School. I mean, it's basically a hybrid of those two.
It looks like it.
It's directed by her husband, Ben Falcone.
This is the point that I was going to make. Yeah. There's a weird Mila Jovovich, not Wes W. Anderson, but
Paul W.S. Anderson
thing going on where these two keep making movies together, and they kind of need to stop.
The Boss was okay.
Never saw it.
The Boss is not bad.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Tammy and I know Ben a little bit, and I'm really good friends with his dad. So it's kind of weird to critique his movies, but Tammy was really bad.
Yeah, Tammy looked bad.
It was.
Yeah.
Because I think Melissa McCarthy is I think talent-wise, there's not a lot of people.
You know what wasn't as bad as I thought it would be? What was it called? The one with her and Sandra Bullock. And I typically...
The Heat?
I typically hate
it. It's all right. I thought Spy was real good.
Spy was decent.
I like Spy.
Spy was actually pretty decent. All right.
I think Melissa, she just doesn't always get employed well, yeah. You know.
She's in a movie coming up that doesn't, it doesn't look like a comedy, and I forget what it's called, but based on somewhat of a true story where she...
Yes, she fakes the letters.
She fakes the letters from an author.
I just saw the trailer for that. I thought that was pretty good.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a speed bump weekend.
Everybody's just gearing up for Star Wars.
Yeah, well, we got Deadpool next weekend. Infinity War behind us.
People are still throwing tons of money at Infinity War.
I still haven't seen Infinity War, but I did see Black Panther.
Do you like it?
You're almost caught up.
And that'll be coming up in our next category. So we might as well just move on to DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, and that is Black Panther.
So good.
I loved Black Panther. It was so good. I think I want to watch it again.
Very rewatchable, too. I've seen it now. I think I've seen it four times. I saw it twice. I actually saw it three times in the theater because my daughter hadn't seen it, and I was like, "Ooh, I'll take you."
I guess if I have to.
And I've watched it at home once now, and it is eminently and very much enjoyably rewatchable.
All right, that's what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
It's really good.
And if you haven't seen all those other Marvel movies, you can just watch Black Panther.
Yeah,
and you're not like out of the loop or anything like that. It's a very good standalone movie.
Yeah.
I was on a plane flying back from Atlanta, not last weekend, but the weekend before. And Darkest Hour was on there, and I was like, I should watch this. It's an Oscar thing. And it was fine.
Yeah.
The first hour is really boring, but the lady in front of me was watching Black Panther, so I basically just watched Black Panther for an hour and listened to the first part of Darkest Hour.
That's funny. You're right. You can jump right into Black Panther, and it doesn't tie in and reference in with any other Marvel movies that you need to see, but you can't see Infinity War.
No.
If you haven't seen Black Panther.
Okay, if you insist.
That's I've been telling, there's a lot of people that I've, you know, oh, I'm going to go see Infinity War. And I always ask the first question, have you seen Black Panther? And if they say no, I say, do not go see Infinity War.
Well, that's why I made sure that I watched it, because I still haven't seen Infinity War. Yeah. But that's because there's like several movies that I want to watch before I see Infinity War.
Yeah.
So that's why I made sure to watch Black Panther, and it was really good.
God, there's still Infinity War conversations that we need to have, but yeah. That it still entails
nope.
you to...
Nope, we can have Black Panther conversations. At least.
Well, Black Panther was good. I like Black Panther. I'm looking forward to getting the Blu-ray and DVD this week. So.
Definitely highly, highly recommend it for anybody who hasn't seen it. New out on streaming services this week, we have Anon. That's on Netflix.
Yeah, just stop Netflix.
Just stop.
Just stop already. This is Amanda Siegfried and, I can't remember who the... Clive Owen. And it looks awful.
Yeah.
It looks like another just Netflix... Throw it together and put it out there, and that really just went down fast.
Yeah, it's like there's somebody with a gun to somebody's head, and like if you don't keep making movies, you're gonna die. Like, I gotta keep making movies.
Just none of these have been anything stellar.
Well, is Netflix making the movies, or are they just buying these movies that are just not being like
it's both?
Up
I think
TV.
It's a combination.
Yeah, it's a combination. It feels like Netflix basically. Like, at first we thought that Netflix was going to be... I mean, if you go back and listen to previous movie talks, we talked about this. It was like this was going to be, like, the next frontier. And that we even discussed the fact that maybe your theaters would be in jeopardy as Netflix moves more to make these movies. And now it just seems like they basically purchased all the rights to the films that were going straight to DVD before, or Redbox, and are putting them out there. And they don't have to give people... The watch numbers, and that's what's so Netflix can do whatever Netflix wants to do, but we don't know what the viewership of these films are, and they keep just kind of pumping them out.
I would argue, though, I bet if you had access to the Redbox data, I bet the good movies are not the movies that are flying out of the Redbox. Netflix might have figured out that these crappy movies actually get better ratings, or get more, not better ratings, get seen more.
Well, and they're cheaper, yeah. too.
Now, one counterpoint, by the way, great Netflix movie, Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic Stephen King adaptation. But that is the exception to the rule. Like, Gerald's Game was a really good movie that would have been fantastic in theaters. It's the exception.
So we talked about this probably a year ago, about this idea of this next frontier of watching really great movies. It turns out we lied.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
This is
I don't
hot,
care, though.
This is hot garbage.
I don't care, though. Netflix movies are kind of like, they're just added value at this point. I am not, and I doubt anybody is, deciding whether or not I'm going to keep or cancel my Netflix subscription based on the quality of their original movies.
It's shows.
All that other stuff.
It's mostly the shows.
It's all the shows, man.
Yeah. Sure.
You know? And it's other movie. I mean,
but the shows are so good. Why do you make good shows? You make bad movies.
Because they're not making movies.
Yeah.
They're just accepting movies that studios were like, eh, that's all. No, but not, I guarantee you Netflix is not putting any significant amount of money into their movie production.
Oh, that shows.
Clearly.
But they get big names.
But they're
expensive.
That's a weird thing. I mean, they get like, you know.
They do spend money. That's the thing, though. They're spending real money.
Yeah, they're producing these films. I mean, they're making.
Yeah, but my point is I don't think they're spending a ton of money on these films.
Okay, but that you bring up a really good question, though, because you say that it's not the added value and you keep your Netflix subscription without it. So then why? Why are they? I mean, I know it's content, but why this constant churn of hot garbage?
Well, they're going to hit a point of diminishing returns, and that's going to happen when Disney launches their app next year and Disney yanks all their products off of Netflix. That's when Netflix is going to end up having a difficult time, because right now, like you said, you know, they're right, doesn't matter. They have the other shows and those are good, and that's fine. And maybe that'll still be the case. But next year and then moving forward, especially this is the other part of it. It's not just Disney films that are going bye-bye from Netflix. It's going to be all the 20th Century Fox films too, because mm-hmm. Disney is buying them up. Oh. So
they're going to lose everything.
They're having to create their own back catalog rather quickly so that they have a bunch of crap to watch.
That's actually a fairly good point. And I'll tell you right now, as a new dad and with my little guy about to turn two, I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth, but I next year will be subscribing to the Disney.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of have to, because there'll be some show he wants to watch or his favorite movie that you can just hit play on again and again and again.
Well, that's what we have like right now on through my Apple TV. I have my catalog of Cars 1, great movie. Cars 2, awful movie. Cars 3, he loves it.
It's okay. Yeah. So, Cars 3 was okay.
Cars 3 was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cars 2 is...
No,
Cars 2 the one where Mater was like a spy?
Yeah, they turned it into a ridiculous, stupid spy.
Such a weird choice.
I felt like... And then when Cars 3 rolled around, even like the Cars franchise didn't want to acknowledge that they tried to make Mater a spy.
Yeah. Cars 3 operates as if Cars 2 never happened.
That's how I live my life.
There's so many references to the first movie, and there's not a single reference to the second movie, which is kind of...
And you probably know, because I'm sure you've seen it 5,000 times.
There's the part where he crashes, and the one car goes, oh no. And now Jackson, anything drops on the floor, he knocks over his Lego tower, and my little guy goes... Oh, no.
Well, we were just having a discussion the other day, just kind of keeping with it before we go to the flashbacks, Sam. But they're going to be they're going to do a long series for Lord of the Rings. Yeah. What app was it? It was
I believe it's Hulu.
I think it's Hulu. And I told Drew, I'm like, do we need that? I mean,
nope.
The argument that I made, and I wonder what you guys think, is that, you know, I understand going back to 80s, 90s.
Amazon Prime.
Going back to 80s, 90s and looking at those films and then doing newer versions of it. But I feel like once you hit like between 2000 and 2005, we reached a point in terms of production of major films where what else are you going to add to it? Like with Lord of the Rings, those movies hold up. The effects are good. They're enjoyable.
There's 12 hours of them if you watch the director's cuts.
Yeah, they're already super long. Do I need this story again? And I heard rumor that Peter Jackson might be the one who's doing it. I'm like, why? You know, unless you took Lord of the Rings and turned it upside down and put it in a different era or something. You know, it's interesting how, you know, these movies are going to be making. I just don't think it's...
They're spending $250 million. Amazon is. On Lord of the Rings TV, Amazon, Netflix, and HBO had all been in talks for acquiring the rights, but Amazon triumphed. They're producing the series in cooperation with the Tolkien Estate and Trust, book publishers. I don't see...
You could take...
Yeah, Jackson is in talks about becoming an executive producer of the show.
You could take Jackson's movies and just split them up into one-hour shows and have a complete... And have two seasons worth. Easy.
They've committed to producing 5 seasons.
Oh,
great.
5 seasons.
That's a big commitment.
That's a big extrapolation, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Well, that's what do you do to the story and follow?
Right.
I bet you they're taking characters and expanding them, and then that'll be an excuse to make new toys and books and crap.
The series will be a prequel to the films.
Oh, God.
So they're not just redoing the story.
Okay, so they're going to go
TV form.
Prequel, though, so you're going to spend the whole time waiting for Bilbo to get a ring or whatever.
That was The Hobbit. The Hobbit was the prequel.
Yes, they already did. By the way, which they turned into 9 hours of more movies.
On right. a book that's a half an inch thick.
Oh.
Wait, they're doing a prequel of the prequel?
Yep.
Okay, can I just... I'm going to be a bit of a jerk here for a second. Not every character needs a friggin' origin story.
Agreed.
I am prequeled.
Solo looks amazing.
No, Solo does look good. Solo does look good.
No.
Yes.
Point of order, legislator. Yes.
Doesn't need to happen.
This reminds me of the old joke. A writer walks into a psychiatrist's office and he says, doctor, I have a terrible problem with backstories. And the doctor says, when did it start?
Bad.
I like that.
Bad.
I didn't write it.
I'm okay with that joke. I'm okay with it.
Movies out this week. 20 years ago, Deep Impact and Woo.
Deep Impact?
Oh.
The two of the the asteroid movies, Deep Impact and Armageddon. I celebrate them both for very different reasons, and I enjoy Deep Impact immensely.
They're very different movies, yeah. Weirdly.
Yeah. Deep Impact is, I like that movie a lot. John Favreau as an astronaut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like Deep. I like that movie a lot. It's a go to Armageddon film for me.
I got nothing against it. Just didn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
I think it's just an also ran with Armageddon. Because yes. Armageddon's like the big dumb fun one, and Deep Impact really tries to like break down what would happen.
Yeah.
And Armageddon's more just like, man, what if we shot the asteroid with a machine gun a few times or whatever?
And there's a lot of good elements.
We drilled it.
There's a lot of good elements in Deep Impact. When they talk about the media aspect of it and, you know, how much are they going to cover and, you know, I enjoy that movie.
And that was the first, that was the first big, like, and the president's a black guy.
Yeah.
It was like, remember when that came out? It was like, Morgan Freeman plays a president. How insanely progressive. And like 20 minutes later, we actually had a black president.
And then has anybody here seen Woo?
That does not ring a bell.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
LL Cool J, Dave Chappelle,
What's the synopsis,
Davidson.
Sam?
Woo is apparently her name. Woo is a woman in control of her world. She is smart, self-confident, sophisticated, and snarky. And she doesn't have any trouble attracting members of the opposite sex. But for some reason, no one ever sticks around. Woo meets Tim, played by
Woo's
Tommy Davidson.
Woo's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I think we found enough of him. I think we even know about Woo.
No, I will finish. Woo meets
Don't get
Tim.
All Woo on me.
Woo's Tim is a paralegal who is her complete opposite. They shouldn't click. However, Woo and Tim begin to bond with a series of
God,
weird
this sounds
stressful
so
calamities
formula.
With Tim while they are on their first date.
This sounds so painful.
Wait, she's super independent. Opposites attract. Who'd have seen this coming?
Was there a sequel where they became cops?
It's called Woo 2.
This is apparently a romantic comedy film, but Google puts it in a category called farce/romance.
Wow.
I don't know.
Put it into We Tried to Make Jada Pinkett Smith a Star.
It's got 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
It looks terrible.
She's much better suited for TV.
Yeah, she's great in Gotham.
Yeah, she's fantastic in Gotham.
Yeah. Oh,
that's such a good show.
Well,
if you're not watching Gotham, you are making bad choices in life.
Is it because did she have any early like movies or TV appearances that were really good, or did she just kind of need to grow as an actress? Because that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I've
she would have been. 26
she's been
then.
In a number of shows, and I'm drawing blanks. I don't have like her page up in front of me, but I've seen her in more than one thing that I've enjoyed. But I can't think of any movies necessarily.
In 2017, she had Girls Trip. Gotham.
That got great reviews.
Yes.
I mean, I never saw it, but...
She was in Bad Moms, apparently. I don't remember her being in there, though.
I don't either.
She's been in all the Madagascar films. I don't know who she voices, though.
What was I own it, and I can't remember the name of it. It's Hugh Jackman.
Kate Leopold?
Nope. It's an action movie.
Swordfish?
Yes!
That's Halle Berry.
That's Halle Berry. That's right. Yeah.
Movies out this week 10 years ago.
My bad.
Speed Racer, and What Happens in Vegas.
Unabashed fan of Speed Racer. I absolutely...
The least surprising thing of all time.
I love that movie. My sons love that movie. It was one of those ones when I first saw it, I went, and it grew on me. I love what they tried to do. I love what they did with it. The last 40 minutes of that movie is emotional and stunning and visually fantastic. Yes.
No.
Fantastic. The music is great. Love that movie.
Have all of you guys seen Speed Racer?
Love that film.
Parts of it. I think it's really distinctive, and it's like, hey, I wasn't a fan. It was a little too much for me, but it's a very undeniably distinctive movie. My biggest problem with that movie is Emile Hirsch. I can't stand Emile Hirsch. I hate his face. I don't like the cut of his jib. He's a terrible jib. I don't want his jib anywhere near me. Anti-Emile Hirsch.
I put that up there with Matrix, just in terms of what the Wachowski brothers were trying to do with taking that style of animation in the original Speed Racer and trying to make it applicable to a blockbuster film. It's very unique. There's nothing else like it, and I absolutely love it.
Yep, I'll go with you on that one. Like, I don't dig it, but I dig that they were really trying something different as opposed to just a generic.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I should watch.
It's not good though.
No. But yeah, at the same time, I feel like I shouldn't.
No. Go ahead and save yourself.
Sensory overload for me is just a little too much.
Save yourself 135 minutes.
It looks very colorful.
It is incredibly. It's visually stunning, and it's almost creates. I'm going to defend it. It creates like its own category of movies. Like once you accept what it is, it's trying to be.
So what is it that it's trying
to
be?
Its own genre.
Its own genre.
Okay, so you're talking very highly about this movie,
right?
Which is fair. Because you like it. But I need you to like explain to me what this special genre is.
If you go back to the anime of what the 2D animation, and it's anime essentially, of the original Speed Racer, they tried to go and take that and turn it into a regular sort of 3D in terms of film, you know, film experience. And so it's to anime what a Marvel movie is to try to be a comic book movie.
That's a very good description.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you either like it. It's kind of one of those things where you.
And I don't like
it.
Anime, so it's not my thing. But it was. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just another computer generated car race.
Right. And my son loves like watching the Pokemon animes and all that, and so both of my boys absolutely love that movie. So
fun fact: it was produced, or I'm sorry, it was directed by two sisters.
Yeah, who used to be two brothers.
They used to be two brothers.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Larry. Yes. Larry and it was originally
Larry and Andy.
And Andy, and now it's Lana and
Lily.
Yeah, so Andy became Lana. No, Larry became Lana first, and then Andy, and then Andy ended up also changing as well.
Did that happen before or after they did this movie?
It was after post Matrix.
It was post Matrix, right? Yeah. Matrix, they were still brothers, and then Cloud Atlas.
Yep.
Which is have you guys seen Cloud Atlas?
No, I was interested in it when it first came out, but then reviews started coming out and people started talking about it, and I was like, eh.
I think it is a fantastic failure. It's based on a book that is amazing, and the movie just doesn't quite capture it. The Wachowskis' best movie that's not The Matrix, I would say, is Bound. Oh, that's a really cool, low-key heist movie.
That movie let them do The Matrix.
Yes, Bound is really good. The Wachowskis, they're very talented. They just don't always hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, anymore. They did with Matrix, and that was kind of it. But I love Speed Racer.
Fair.
TCNT Movie Talk right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Hello, Speed Racer.
103.5 FM.
It's not a good movie.
Speed Racer's movie I love.
We've already talked about it.
You sound like Pappy Steve from Multiplicity. That's right, Pappy Steve.
John loves Speed Racer.
Speed Racer. So does James T. Harris.
We do this every week. Listen again next week. If I stole a